This is CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with Siyabonga Begile. Live on Cliff Central.
It's Siyabonga Begile, live on Cliff Central, and of course, this is another installment of The Threaded Exchange, conversations that are progressive, cultured, and brave, showcasing South Africans who are doing incredible things, actually Africans who are doing incredible things. These are conversations that are there to inspire you and showcase young people doing incredible things in different industries. And today I've got a really, really interesting show, and this is something that I've never thought I would have on my show. Today we're talking about all things hair. And we're going to be speaking to Sheldon, who's founded his own hair empire or grooming empire, barber empire. I don't even know what to call it, but he'll define it for us, called Legends Barbershops. I'm sure you guys have seen it all around South Africa. There is no head he hasn't touched. He has shaved everyone from Ricky Rick, Davido, Nasty C, Loot Love, Reason. This guy's cutting everybody's hair, but he hasn't cut the hair of the Threaded Man. That's one thing he hasn't done. Sheldon, how are you doing?
I'm good to yourself, Mansia. Thanks for having me.
Good. So, why haven't you cut the Threaded Man's hair?
It's you. But soon.
How are you feeling?
I'm good.
I always start my show, I think, because we're always on social media and Twitter, I feel like we're losing our sense of humanity. You know,
when we greet
each other, we never actually greet each other anymore. It's always, hey, how are you doing? And then you quickly move on.
Yeah.
So, I think I'm actually going to ask you, and I really mean it when I ask, how are you doing?
I'm good. Hectic, but good.
Hectic, but good. Are you getting enough sleep?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. So what would you call yourself? Are you, I hate the term celebrity barber. What would you call yourself? It's a bit pretentious.
It's a bit pretentious.
Yeah, I always get it in fashion when people call themselves, I'm a celebrity stylist.
Yeah.
I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Do you only like style celebrities? Like, yo. So what would you call yourself?
I'll just call myself the legendary barber because that's like what we are. You understand?
Yeah. And where did it all start?
It all started back in Yaldorado Park. So we started on a stoop, and me and a friend started. And as time went on, like, the business grew. And and then we moved into, like, a lease premises. And fast forward, I got married, went on honeymoon. And when I came back, the business was closed. So I asked this guy, like, what happened and stuff. So...
Yeah.
So then he explained to me, no, the guys left him and stuff. So I phoned the guys, and the guys were saying, no, this guy didn't pay him, pay the rent and pay them, basically, you understand? So we closed down. That was back in 2012, and we reopened 2014. And this time I decided, you know what, now, because it's like school fees that you needed to pay. And there's a lot of lessons out of it because I wasn't full-time in it, you understand? It was just like a part-time thing. It was like a passion or hobby that you can do on the side.
Let's even backtrack.
Yeah.
Hair. Why hair? Where does your passion for hair come from? I've heard rumors that you used to be a boxer.
Yes.
So how does one move from boxing into hair? And because for me, about the show, it's also about... For the youth that are listening, I want them to capture lessons of the journey.
Yeah.
So how do you move from being a boxer to being a barber? And why a barber? And what made you think it was lucrative to go into that business?
So basically, from a very young age, I think I was like 14 years old.
Yeah.
I always had a passion for cutting hair. And I always just like watch guys cutting hair and doing this thing, I understand. But for me, it was like, how did they get it right? How did they do that?
Yeah.
I understand. So I was always inquisitive. I was a guy that used to go and go stand by the barbers.
Yeah.
And just like watch what they're doing. And now and then, they used to chase me away. They say, if it's like, go here. It's cool. Then I'll go like to another barber.
So this is in Eldorado. You grew up in Eldorado. Yeah. So as a kid, you were very fascinated about barbershops and you spent your time just watching these guys endlessly.
Yeah. So basically, I just had a desire, and it was like, one day I want to be like it.
Yeah.
One day I want to be like it. You understand? So I just had it in me to say, no, I really want this. Although boxing was also... Boxing, it is my passion, you understand? But it wasn't like I'm going to do it for the rest of my life, you understand?
Yeah.
So it was something that I have been doing, you understand? But it's not like something that I can do like for... for the next 30 years, yeah.
Was your family always aware that you had a passion for hair? Did you always grow up in a supportive environment that everyone sort of, you know, knew that you were going to be the hair guy? Or, you know, was there a bit of tension growing up sort of pursuing this career that you were inquisitive about?
Yeah, like nobody knew that at the time you could make a career out of cutting hair. Like, even myself also, I doubted myself sometimes because I was like, making a career out of cutting hair, who does it? You understand? You don't find people that do that. Yeah, you see, so for some time I had to go like into the corporate and go work there and doing stuff that I don't like doing. And then I end up finding like on weekends I'll still spend my time like cutting people's hair and still doing this thing that I love doing, you understand? So.
How old were you when you first held a clipper? Who taught you to cut hair?
I think I was around 12 years old. My father first bought me a clipper and I actually just practiced by myself. I used to like watch guys cut hair, you understand? Then I would come home because my mother had like this Rumi Vido with like mirrors on both sides and you can like watch it at the back of your hair, you understand? So I just come home and just practice and just try like different tricks. And I used to even give like everyone knew, like, if you want a free haircut, go to Shell and Shell will look
you up. So by the time you're like 14, 15, you could cut people's hair. Yeah. So you're actually, you didn't go to hair school, you're not taught how to do hair, but you're a hair genius in a sense.
Yeah.
So in high school, you're cutting people's hair, you start doing boxing a little bit.
Yeah.
So how does the boxing career go, and when was it, you know, adamant to you that, okay, I need to actually own my own barber or pursue this as a career?
So back in, like maybe like 4 or 5 years ago when I decided, okay, you know what, I'm going to leave boxing because you can't do everything at the same time, you understand? It's rather you put your all into this thing that you love doing or else don't do it at all, you understand? You can't be like half, understand? You have to put in all. So it was about 5 years ago when I decided. It was about five years ago.
And how did the concept, I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, who want to do hair, I know, will either go work for a Candy & Co, a Sobe Man, or if someone wants to do makeup, there'll be a MAC hair makeup artist or work for a group. What made you sort of go into the industry or the hair industry from an entrepreneurial point of view? What made you be like, actually, I don't want to work for anyone. I want to do this legends. I want to be a legendary barber. How did that come about?
Yeah, because basically at the time, I never saw people doing things differently. Everyone done things the same. You understand? Like if you go to like another barbershop, they're all doing the same thing there. There's nothing that actually makes them stand out. You understand? Whereas when we started, the name legends actually comes from us going out to the community, going out to our elders to go serve them. You understand? That's where the name Legends Barbershop, because they are the legends of our community. And that's where it all comes from. So that's what I wanted to do, just to make a difference in the community, you understand? To help guys, because I know, like personally from a barber's point of view, I know what it is to be a barber, you understand? And help these guys grow into the business, you understand? Some of the guys has like shares in the business as we speak, you understand?
Yeah.
So just to help them, to groom them, understand? So
in a sense, it was driven by the passion of giving something back to where you grew up and paying homage to that.
That's true.
And Legends Barber was a way to do something that the community would love and something that the community would be known for.
Yeah.
So Legends is built on that blueprint.
Yeah, that's true.
When I listen to your story, I hear that, you know, you said everyone knew from a young age that hair was your passion. But was it smooth sailing? What were the challenges growing up?
No, what wasn't. Were
the challenges pursuing the stream?
There was a lot of challenges that came along the way. I can go back to when I decided that I'm going to leave like the corporate and step out of us, that this is what I want to do, you understand? It was a tough decision to make at the time, because now you're thinking about now you got rent to pay and how you're going to pay that, you understand? So like the whole thing of being self-employed and like, you know what, this thing has to work, you understand? Or else my wife is going to put me out at home, you understand? So there was always this thing that drives me to say, you know what, I got to do better. And what basically happened, I can remember like one of the challenges, 2014, there was this one time where we had to like get rid of four barbers. because we were using drugs on the premises, and at the time we were six barbers.
And we're using drugs on the
premises. Yeah.
Were these barbers your friends at the time that were in the business, or just employees?
No, just employees.
Yeah.
So at that time I had to now make a decision to say, you know what, because do we want this barbershop to have this reputation? I understand that the drug addicts are there. You understand the drug addicts are working and stuff like that. So at the time, I had to fire like four guys, and only two guys left. Then business was tough back then, because these guys, what they done, they like just went across the street and they like set up like a tent and a chair there, and they used to charge like maybe cheaper. You understand? And
so after they were using drugs in your business, you fired them essentially, and then they just became their own barbers to compete with you.
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah. So
and how do you come out? How do you come out? I mean, I know it within my business, because I run a startup. My employees are very close to me, and it's people that I trust.
Yeah.
And if that trust is broken, it's a huge deal.
Yeah.
And and when that trust is broken, it could crumble the company because it's such a critical phase. So how do you make it out of that? How do you keep going past that?
At a time, like now, I could say, like, I think it's all through God's strength, you understand? Because God is the one that actually carries you through this, you understand? Because sometimes you think about just giving up, you understand? But then it's just a thing to say, no, you can't give up, you understand? You have to keep pushing because you got the child at home that you need to feed, you got this, you got that, you understand? So you have to make this thing work, you understand? So I didn't have any other option to say, no, I can fall back on this, I can do this, you understand? So there was a thing to say, you have to do this.
Yeah.
There's no other way out.
Yeah, and I think it's so important for all those that are listening, when pursuing a business or pursuing a dream, you know, you're going to fail. And I think that's what people don't understand about entrepreneurship, is that you're going to fail. But failure doesn't mean the end. Failure just means it's a challenge that you have to overcome. And when I go through failure, I always go back to my basics.
Yes.
You know, so when you're pursuing your dream, even if right now you're in your failing stages, that's not a good thing. That is a good thing, because you grow.
It is a good thing.
You grow through that. Guys, please join in on the conversation. I'm with Sheldon, the founder of Legends Barber, who cuts everybody's hair. He's the coolest barber in Africa, has cut hair for Nasty C, Ricky Rick, Davido, everybody in the continent. So join the conversation on 079-9748-2090. And of course, you can tweet us at Cliff Central or hashtag The Thread Exchange. We'll be back on the other side of this. In the booth like Clark Kent, in the coupe like Bruce Wayne. Facelift, that's a new thing. Finna do it for the youth then. If these niggas acting too fast, but you think I got like it's brutalist. We ain't fucking with you. Yes, you are live on Cliff Central on the Thread Exchange. I'm with Sheldon, founder of Legends Barber, the legendary barber of Africa, the coolest barber in Africa. What do you love most about your career?
Do you know what I like about it? It's like getting out of bed and you're like happy to go work. You understand?
Yeah.
Like it's never a dull moment. Like the other day, I was speaking to somebody the other day, and we've done like a 24-hour thing for Investec, you understand? And it was like the day before that, I went to bed like at 1 o'clock, and I went to and like the morning I got up at 4 o'clock, and now to go and prepare for this thing of Investec, and we worked like the whole night. It was like consistent for 24 hours. Like the whole team, we were drained, and when we got home we were like, hey, you know what, we're tired. And out of that, like, I had another appointment to go cut the customer at 9 o'clock. Like, just when you got back, then I had to go cut another customer. And the guys were asking me, were like, Yanni, are you not tired? What's happening? You understand?
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Let's keep going. You understand? Because it's like this is not, it's not like a job to me. You understand? So it's not something that, I think, like, it's more than a hobby. It's something that I love doing.
Yeah.
I'm cutting hair. Like me and you were talking about it the other day, like cutting hair is like it's like something that you would do even if there's no no money involved, anything like that, you understand? So it's just something that you love doing, like, constantly.
Passion, You're being paid to do something that you extremely
that you
love.
Doing,
and
yeah.
That's how I feel. I was doing a talk, actually, this weekend, and we were talking about, I was invited by Blackboard to speak alongside Claire Mawisa and Papa Ama, the stylist, and to just talk about, like, our careers and how we've found wealth in what we do. And I said, for me, the biggest wealth you can ever find is being paid for something you truly love, and you know you could do it for free.
That's true.
Like, I know that every day when I wake up, like, I don't have to wake up and go to an office. I get to wake up on a Monday and I come to Cliff Central and I talk to cool people like you.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't change that for anything. So you've been through these challenges, you know, you've moved from boxing, you started Legends Barber,
yes.
And you have to fire four people because they were using drugs. They try to compete with you. You move past that.
Yeah.
Now, connect the dots for me. Yeah. Right now, Legends has thousands of followers on social media. You're cutting Ricky Rick's hair. You're doing mobile studios. You're doing all these things to diversify your brand. Now, tell me the journey from there to now.
So, back in 2014, one thing that I always told people, and like most of the guys that were working with me at the time, they didn't believe this, because I always said, like, what we need to do, we're going to open 5 branches, like, in the next 5 years, you understand? For me, at that time, it looked like, wow, this is big, you understand?
Yeah.
But now is it like, you know what, I actually dreamt too small that time, because now we're like standing on 4 branches in 3 years, and it's I understand. So
let me take a step back. Is there money in the hair industry?
There is.
And is there, did you have to find capital to start your business, or did you work, because some people seek funding to expand their business. Some people will start off with one and then use the profits from the one to open another one, use those profits to multiply and so on and so forth. So in terms of your expansion plan, I just want to know, but I want to know, what was your approach about going from 1 to 5 stores?
Yeah. So, so in the beginning, nobody funded me. Nobody wanted to fund me. You understand? So it was like, so you always paint a picture to somebody and you tell them, like, oh, this is what you need to do and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But people don't believe in your dream, you see. So back then I had to make a sacrifice. I had to say, you know what, let me go make a loan and let me sell like one of my properties, and let me like just take money out of it and like just go into this thing full time. And I think like that's like where it all came in, because I mean, like, if you do make a flop, or if you do flop on anything, you know to say this is on your expense. You understand? You can't, like, you can say no, because this investor, they put us, understand? It's all on you, and you have to make it work. And I think, like, it's a thing. So I just use the same concept up until today. Say, we don't do funding, and we don't do franchising. We don't do, everything comes out of the business, basically. So the business helps.
The business sustains itself. Yeah. And I think that's such an important thing to say to young entrepreneurs. If you're a young entrepreneur who wants to begin your business, or you want to expand your business, never forget the basics.
Yeah.
Don't. I think that's the biggest problem I have with entrepreneurship in South Africa is that everybody is so stuck on this thing of, let's go to the bank and get funding. Let's go find an investor. But guys, that's not always the best scenario for your business.
It's not
always, because I find most of the time when you have investors on board, they want their money back.
Yeah,
and a startup can take more than 20 years to realize profit. I mean, you look at Amazon right now, Jeff Bezos is the world's richest man, but Amazon didn't see a profit for nearly 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't know.
They
and,
don't
you know, when I look at South Africa, when I look at investors, South African investors are not patient.
Yeah.
And a startup is not supposed to make money. It's not supposed to right off the back make money. So there is a lack of that patience here. Mm. And I think,
like, for example,
yeah.
Like, for example, I can remember, like when we started like July 2014, and like for like 3 months consistently, I never paid myself. You understand? Because you wanted to see like the business grow. You wanted to like put all your efforts in this business, like put everything that you make, like you put it back into this business to make it grow. And only like by November, December, then I started just paying myself like the minimum I can, you understand? So Yeah. So I think like most of entrepreneurs, they're waiting on somebody else to make it happen, but you can make it happen yourself.
Yeah.
I understand. It doesn't have to take like this huge amounts of investments. Why don't you start small? Just start anything that you can.
Use what you have.
Work. Yeah.
And I think, that is a big problem with young entrepreneurs. And I think they don't start their dreams. They don't follow their dreams because they need, I can't start my business because I need funding.
Yeah.
I can't do this because I need money. I need that money. Imagine if there was no money and there is no money. And actually, let me say, not imagine, there is no money for you, unfortunately. And that's what I say, use what you have. I mean, when I started Threaded Man, my blog, I didn't have a laptop, but then I used to go to Lysoft and I'd use their library to start my blog and run my blog. I used what I had. I could have sat back and be like, oh, I need money for a laptop.
Yeah.
So make sure that you use what you have. If you're out there, you want to be a content creator, you have a TV show concept, you want to put on TV, go online, use YouTube, use Twitter, use Instagram.
And
that's where the numbers
are. It's so easier now for like business to grow, you understand? Because all the social media platforms helps it, you understand?
Exactly. And news spread so fast.
Yeah.
So you franchise, you open 5 stores. How do you have a sense of, I think that's also another thing that I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't have. How do you know it's time to expand?
Like what I do a case study on the market, you understand? And I'll visit like a certain area consistently. And I'll see, like, for example, like our recent store that we opened in Pretoria. Like what they used to do, because like most of the people used to travel like from Pretoria all the way to like your Florida, your Soweto branches. And basically what they used to do, just do like a small case study. You understand?
Yeah.
Like, where about in Pretoria are you from? Understand? How can we assist if we do open in Pretoria, which place would be convenient? And most of the people said, like, you know what, nah, Hatfield will be actually like the perfect location for us all. You understand? So basically just do my homework on like where we're going to go to next.
Yeah. I think what I've enjoyed about your business, and I think it's what a lot of, I call it how you move, right? Yeah. And it's a typical business will always want to open franchises in areas they deem wealthy or popular.
Yeah.
So Sandton, Randburg, Rosebank, you know what I'm saying? Those are the popular areas. But you went on a whole different route. And I mean, you have one in Soweto, I think?
Yes.
You've went to places where your kind of services wouldn't be accessible unless you built them there.
Yeah.
Your thing is not about going to popular areas, but you go to areas that actually need that accessibility.
Yeah.
What made you think like that? Because someone would typically be like, I need to be in the north because the lasers are there. I need to be in Rosebank. So what made you say, okay, El Dorado Park, I want to do Soweto.
Yeah.
What was that? Was that a strategy or?
Yes. It is a strategy because also like our market, you understand, because you have to look at the people that you're serving on. You can't just jump and leapfrog to like your big areas like your Sandton and stuff like that, you understand? It takes some time to get there. And you get like these people that's like in Soweto will support you more than the people that's in Sandton.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Then from there, now you've opened your 5 stores.
It's four.
Four. Yeah. There is a fifth one in the works, right?
Yes, there is.
I know there's a fifth one in the works, but we'll talk about your future plans in the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But then I want to jump on, who was the first celebrity that you gave a haircut and how did that come about? So how do you become sort of from this non-social media legendary barber, and you get into social media and you end up cutting the hair of all these celebrities? How did that step start? And how has social media played an important role in converting, you know, those followers into numbers to drive into your business?
Yeah, so first celebrity customer was actually like a guy from Orlando Pirates players. His name was Kermit Erasmus. So he called us up. And
Kermit, that's a friend of mine. He's in Paris at the moment. Shout out to Kermit.
So he called us up and he was like, you know what? Come through to the camp. If you can come cut us, like, just come like at least four to five guys, and just come through to the camp and come cut us all.
Yeah.
And,
at the time, you are not doing door-to-door services yet.
No, we were.
Oh, you.
I was doing it because because I was actually doing it before the barbershop opened. So I always go out to customers because it's more convenient for them, you understand.
So, and also you didn't have a store at the time. You didn't want the overhead, so you'd cut mobily first.
Yes.
Kermit calls you to go to the Kaiser Chiefs. What is it? What is he playing
Pirates.
For?
Pirates.
So Kermit Erasmus calls you to come to the Pirates camp to cut their hair.
Yeah. And from there, it just started growing because there's something about celebrities, like when they see you doing something good, you understand?
Yeah.
They will endorse you, you understand? And they'll make sure to say that you continue to grow. Understand? And shout out to guys like that. And that's how it actually grew. Like then after that, the likes of Anati and Ricky Rick and all these other guys like basically just came about.
And how was that for you? Were you like, I can imagine with with Ricky Rick or Anati, when they gave you that call, were you nervous?
Yeah, obviously. Because you put these guys like on a statue to say like, yo, these guys,
yeah, the best guys, of the best. Yeah,
you understand. So especially like with Ricky, like I was speaking the other day with Ricky and he was saying like because I'm cutting him now like a year and a couple of months. And he was saying, you know what, like the first time you cut my hair, it was that hairstyle, I understand. And I was like, Yeah, then he told me, like, you know how long you took with my hair that day? It took, like, 2.5 hours. I was like, shit, 2.5 hours just to cut his hair. Because I wanted to be precise, you understand?
You wanted to be perfect.
Yeah.
You see? Wow. So, and who have been your favorites so far? And, I mean, give us some of the names you've cut hair. Give us some of the, who have been your favorite celebrities that you've cut?
There's a lot of guys that you cut, like actually they show actually a lot of
support
towards the barbershop as well, and Ricky's one of them. Ricky always like posts and he's like always out there, you understand. There's Loot Love, there's Reason, there's all these guys like always support the barbershop.
The Vido,
you understand? There's the Vido,
Nasty C,
there's
I think you even forget now how do you manage it, like, so after the you cut Ricky's hair and Anati, everything sort of blew up.
Yes.
And did you ever find yourself lost in that? Because it you're someone who's very quiet, who just wants to cut hair, but now you have to be this personality. You have to come and do interviews. You have to now be a brand.
Yeah.
How has the adapting into that? Yeah. How has that been for you?
I just think like somebody gave me advice and she said like just be yourself. No matter what, just be yourself because at the end of the day, people love you for who you are. You understand? And if you start changing, you understand, you actually want to lose that clientele that you already have.
Yeah.
You understand? So, yeah. So, just be yourself. So for me, I treat every customer the same. No matter you got a name or you're a celebrity or not, you understand? If you're a customer for Legends Barbershop, I'll treat you the same.
Yeah, and do you only, and I also think this is something that's very important to highlight because you get a lot of people in the industry who are celebrity hairstylists, celebrity this, celebrity that, and I always say that I refuse to be called a celebrity stylist. I'm a stylist. Whether it's styling a wedding, whether it's styling a celebrity, I'll treat the clientele the same because I am a servant. I'm serving.
Yeah,
so is it the same for you?
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's
your services, like, so you're not just cutting Ricky's hair, but if someone wants Sheldon to cut their hair, they can pay for that service.
Yeah.
But tell us about the exciting things that are happening. You're showing me your plans on Friday about a bus, you want to expand into products. So now that you're here, where do off next?
There's a lot of things coming up. Eh? There's like, I'm actually scared about all of those things that's coming up because it's like we're moving so fast and it's... Because we're actually planning to open like 2 stores before the end of this year.
Yeah.
Another two stores.
It's August tomorrow.
Yeah, it's August. And it's like two stores. How are you going to get it right? Yeah. So.
Where would you like to open those stores? Are you not allowed to say it? Because, I mean, I want to promote it.
No problem. Newtown Junction.
Newtown Junction. Listen up. Legends Barber is coming.
And definitely in Durban. We have to go to Durban. It's a must.
Why not Cape Town? I mean, I would assume Cape Town.
We'll get there. I think, like, let's just take it one
step at a time. You want to go from the top of South Africa and work your way down.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And and the mobile bus?
The mobile bus, we will be launching it before the end of this month. Before the end of August. August already. But yeah, so this bus, I actually been working on this bus. Like, it's been my dream, like, ever since I started the barbershop, is to, like, have, like, this mobile thing because basically, like, when we cut customers, it's either going to go cut them in the garage or in the room or in the kitchen, you understand? So it's always... So basically, just bringing this bus in where this person just jumps on, you understand?
Yeah.
So this person just jumps on, you get a hair washed, and everything is, like, in the bus. It's a very, very nice bus.
Yes. Yeah. But what is the... So let me explain, guys. So I had a meeting with Sheldon on Friday because we work on something cool, which I want to talk about as well. So he has this bus, and this bus is going to be driving around Johannesburg, right?
Yes.
And this bus is going to be a barbershop.
Yes.
And how is this bus going to work? So can you walk us through sort of, is it going to be in a certain area at a certain time and then move on to another one?
It's basically going to be the same thing that we're doing now. You understand? We go out to customers and it's going to be an app where you, like, just book your appointment, and it's...
You're opening an app.
Yeah.
That's another announcement. Legendary Barber is going to open an app where you can book to have your hair cut on this bus.
On the bus. There's going to be, like, two different apps. There's going to be one for the bus and one for the barbershop itself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But what keeps... Let me also ask you something. Like, I mean, what makes you so innovative? You know, what comes... How do you find all these cool ideas? I mean, you could have just sit back and be like, I'm just going to open barbershop. My barbershop's going to make millions of money. I'm going to relax.
Yeah.
But it seems like you're very ambitious and you're very determined to keep raising the level and raising the bar. And where does that killer instinct come from?
I think it comes from yourself, you understand? It comes from yourself and it comes from God, because God actually gives you this vision of like what you have to do, you understand?
Yeah.
And like while you're busy completing a vision and you're something else pops up, you understand?
Yeah.
I think like God just puts this thing in you to say, you know what, nah, this is going to be the best barbershop no matter what, you understand? And this is going to be the barbershop that's going to impact lives instead of making money out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Guys, it's 20 minutes left of the show. I'm still here with the legendary barber of Africa. Of course, that is Sheldon of Legendary Barbers.
Yes.
How do I say, is it Legendary Barbers or Legends Barber? How do we actually say the name of the brand?
It's Legends Barber. It's Legends Barbershop, but we just slogan of the Legendary Barber,
The Legend, so it's the Legends Barber, and the slogan is the Legendary Barber. From one cool kid of Africa to the next, we'll catch you guys. In the meantime, I'm going to play another track, but in the meantime, please do send us your questions. Do engage with us.
Yeah.
We're on 079-748-2090. Sheldon and I are also Insta-storying, Insta-living, Insta-everything. So please ask us all those questions. You can tweet us at hashtag The Thread Exchange or Cliff Central. .com.
Yes.
And this is one of my favorite songs, actually. I don't know what you think, but I think this is someone you should definitely cut their hair. You're still tuning into the Threaded Exchange. I don't know. I always feel like I have these characters that I want to play. Like, I have like the creepy voice.
And then
I have like, I don't know. I just feel like I have like all these like split personalities.
So, guys,
we're back on the Threaded Exchange. I'm talking to Sheldon, the founder of Legends Barbershop, the legendary barbers of Africa. He's cutting everybody's hair. Davido, Nasty C. AK, not AK, you haven't cut AK yet, hey?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Soon enough, he'll give
you
the call.
Although I saw him last week, I was like, no, I must come through.
But he's cutting Ricky Rake. You've cut Casper, right?
Yes.
Did you see the video Casper put up recently where he's bragging about his haircut? He's like, yeah, I have money now. Look at my fresh cut.
Yeah.
When you cut the guys' hair, do they tell you what they want, or you just basically come in and you're like, you know what, I've got... You know, something in mind I want to do.
Yeah, so sometimes the guys will come up with ideas, but then we'll like brainstorm together to say like, you know what, why not let us try this? Because I know like your head will actually suit this hairstyle, you understand? So you actually look at a hairstyle and look at the shape of a head and say, you know what, this will be cool for you.
Yeah. Tell me something. Like I know you cut these guys privately and all those things, yeah. But what's been the most crazy where you're like, damn, this has been the, what's the most crazy appointment you've had where the call comes in and you're like, okay, you go there, it's like, damn, this is a whole setup. Like, what has been your favorite or a moment with your clients where you've been like, damn, this is big?
In terms of, I'm not sure how to answer that, but in terms of the other day, like I can't remember, like when it was a couple of months ago,
yeah,
like when I went to Ricky's house, and he like rolled up his garage and it was like a Ferrari and a G63. I was like, sure.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you understand.
You're like, I'm here like, now.
Is this normal?
Yeah.
You see, so those are some of the wows that you see, like, yeah. Just like, yeah. So it's just like basically like what the guys have and like what he was with, because these guys are actually the guys that motivate me, you understand? And they will like give me tips and ideas on what to do and stuff like that.
Yeah. Who, I mean, also, when these guys call you, you already know who they are publicly. So then Anaki calls you or Ricky calls you, you already sort of get an idea who they are.
The picture. Yeah.
But who, out of all the celebrities that you've done hair for, who has surprised you where they seem completely different in person than you'd have imagined in public?
It must be Ricky. Yeah, it must be him. Because
did you think because of his persona, did you think maybe he was arrogant, and then you meet him in person, he's like this like chilled guy who's all about God and family?
Yeah, I was really surprised because I was like, wow, this guy is actually very humble, you understand? And he like really cares about people, and nobody notices it. Nobody sees like what he does like for people out there, you understand? And he actually helped us a lot, especially like with our business and stuff. He like dropped plans for us and say, you know what, why don't you try this? Why don't you get us, try and get sponsors, do this, do that, you understand? So people like it go unnoticed because of that stuff, you understand? Because they paint this public picture to say they're this tough guy, you understand? And I was surprised.
Definitely. But now, something that I always want to talk about with entrepreneurs, especially when they come on the show, is that, you know, there's the entrepreneurial journey, there's the high wins and the low lows, but then there's also a personal life. And a personal life can be a huge, huge sacrifice. And, you know, you are married. Do you have a kid?
Yes, I got two kids.
You've got two kids. How old?
The one is about 4, and the other one is 9 months.
So how do you balance it, man? Like, can you give us the tips? Like, how do you even have a love life?
It's crazy, hey? It's crazy because shout out to my wife, because she helps me a lot. I mean, like, there's sometimes where we will argue to say, like, you know what? It's just Legends Barbershop every day, you understand? And I was like, hey, you know what? Because it's part of me, you understand? Yeah. I can't separate myself from the barbershop, you understand? I can't separate myself to say, you know what, today I'm not going to be part of a barbershop. I can't do that, you understand? Because it's part of who you are. And eventually she actually got understanding to say, you know what, this is who he is, you understand? Yeah. And shout out to her because she supports me a lot in this thing that I'm doing.
Wow. Yeah. But I hear what you're saying, and you argue about it, and she supports you a lot. But I would imagine Jay-Z and Kanye, with Jay-Z and Beyonce, maybe they have to schedule having sex. Maybe they have to schedule going on a date, schedule time for the kids.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
How do you balance your schedule to fit everything and to make sure you have some private time with the wifey, some private time with the kids, some family time together? How do you have a schedule, or do you just go on day by day? Or
No, I do have a schedule. I do have a schedule. Like after this I have to go pick up my kid. So there is a schedule to say, you know what, during the day you must do this, this time it's a must that you must go there. You understand? So there is at least those things where it's actually restricted that you must do this, you understand? Because family always comes first. That's one thing. That's one thing you must understand, because they're the ones that's going to be there even when your business is not there. You understand? So,
Wow, that's incredible. And then Do you ever have like? I'm speaking because I'm speaking not from experience. I'm not married yet. I'm still very young, and I'm working my way there. So I'm getting my own tips here. But then also, I always feel that besides having time with family, besides spending time with your team and the business and all that, sometimes you just need some alone time.
Yeah.
Do you get alone time? Just to just let your mind relax a little bit?
Hardly. It's like, hardly. Like, my alone time will be like on my way to a customer. Just switching off the radio and just like thinking.
Yeah.
That will be my alone time.
Wow. And then at the same time, how do you feel? This is a touchy subject.
Yeah.
But, you know, black tax. You know, once you become famous, now you're appearing on Instagram with Ricky. And have you had family members, like cousins of a cousin's cousin, being like, yo, man, I need a grand.
Yeah.
I need like 10K. And how do you deal with that? Like,
Like it's tough, you understand? Because now to say no to this person, you understand? And it's like somebody called me up when I was sometime last week and they say like they needed 5,000 rand. And I was like, what? 5,000? I say, got a situation and what. I was like, ish, I'm sorry, but I can't help you, understand? Because it's because sometimes just because you see this picture of you doesn't mean that like you can just come through and just come ask for anything. But I mean, like, but I do believe in like giving back. I do believe in giving back. That's why I like make sure that my parents are sorted out. I'll make sure that my sister is sorted out, you understand? My brother.
Yeah.
Understand? So I think like that's what's important, because in life you don't love for yourself.
Yeah.
That's one thing you must understand. You actually love for the people around you. Because the more if you die, who's going to benefit, you understand?
Yeah.
So they
if you had to die tomorrow, what would you want the world to remember about you? And what would you like to leave behind with legends?
I'll just like to leave this legacy behind, but also like just to leave this thing behind where guys continue to do this, what I'm doing, you understand? They mustn't be like, now that I pass away and legends is just going to die out, you understand? Yeah. It must still be that thing to say, we must actually grow from greater heights, you understand? Because it must be that thing to say like, just because he left this, you understand? Let's take this and let's run with this. Let's see what we can do with it. Understand? Let's grow more.
Wow. That is incredible. Let's grow more. And then before we end the show, what advice do you have for young entrepreneurs? Give us 5 tips. What 5 tips do you have for young entrepreneurs that you feel are very important for them to understand?
Okay. The first thing I want to say, like, self-belief. You have to believe in yourself. You understand? You have to. I think, like, that's one thing that we hardly see, like, in our society, you understand? Because most of the time we're praising these heroes and we're praising them, but you don't understand that they also took like a leap of step and like believed in themselves, you understand? The next thing I want to say, like, always put 100% in what you're doing, because like if you're going to put 50% in this and 50% in something else, either or is going to fail, or both is going to fail. Understand? So just put everything in what you know and make it work. See, the
third point
will be like about money. How I look at money, money is like a vehicle to like do more things. Understand? So don't think of it for now that you can eat now. You understand? Like, for example, like these guys that get tenders and stuff like that. Don't think about it now. Think about it.
I've got a million. I gotta buy a car.
Yeah, I understand. So I still drive. And funny enough, I still drive the same car that I've been driving for the past 3 years. And it was like, you understand?
So it's like
just use this as a vehicle to do more. You understand? Because it goes beyond wearing Gucci, wearing like your name brand stuff, you understand?
Yeah.
It goes beyond that. Think about what you want to leave behind, like your legacy.
Think about how more you can grow.
Yeah.
And then tip number 4.
Wasn't this for okay. Come on. See, there's lay principles in your business. You understand? Where is Whereas if all things fail, you understand, make sure that these things, these are the principles that you stand on. For example, like those drug guys that we...
They went against the principles of the business.
Yeah, I understand. Because I think like those are the most important things, you understand. And number five is just be yourself.
Just be yourself and have fun.
Yeah, have fun. Enjoy the journey because it's a journey. Understand?
Yeah.
Success is not something that you reach. And it's not something... where you reach and you get there and you say no, you're done. It's like a journey. It's like always experiencing like all these different things, you see. And just think big. That's also another thing. Think big. Understand? Because if you don't think big, like if you think small, like I think like we were talking about it the other day about this mentality of being like a small business.
Yeah.
We don't believe
we could change the world. We don't believe we could be the next Facebook. Yeah.
You understand? We don't believe that. And like the small thing that you're busy with, even if it's a spaza shop or whatever it is, or whatever you're good at. Understand? Look at me, a barber. Understand? Having like four different branches. And it's like just...
You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So just think big.
Yeah.
Go all out. You understand? Keep preaching that to yourself each and every day. Keep telling yourself like what you want to achieve in life. Every single day.
Oh, wow. There you have it, guys. I think from my end, you know, the reason why I had you here, Sheldon, is that we think, especially as people of color, we think there's a limit to our dreaming.
That's true.
And, you know, there's a lot of young kids out there who have these big dreams, who want to do different things, but they're not doing it because what are people going to say? They're going to be bullied by their friends, or what is their family going to say? And for me, I just want to show young black kids that, guys, no matter what you dream, it's possible.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that a barber would turn into an entrepreneur who now runs a grooming empire?
Yeah.
So, guys, every dream is valid. Whether you want to be the guy making tires, you know, whether you want to be a makeup artist, a hairstylist, whatever it is you want to do, you can actually build a business out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
And as black kids and as black South African and as people of color, we need to embrace all dreamers.
Yeah.
And we need to help each other. We need to grow each other. So if you're out there and you have a dream and you feel that it's odd or it's different or it's weird, let Sheldon be the light.
Yeah.
You know, he's a barber, but he's not a regular barber. He is running this business. He's cutting people's hair all over Africa.
Yeah.
So your dream is very valid, and there's a reason why you have your dream, because by simply following your dream, you can change so many more lives.
That's true.
Through your business, you're giving more jobs, and those jobs are helping feed those families. Those families get to be educated. So it's a roller coaster effect. And I always say, my mom has always told me this, that a candle has never lost light from lighting another candle.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that's the message I would love to leave you guys with today. Sheldon, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks a lot.
Come on, promote yourself. Where can people find you?
So you can find us on Instagram, it's legends_barber. Twitter @legends_barber_. Facebook, Legends Barbershop. And our website, it's legendsbarbershop.co.za. And before we go, I'd like to send a shout out to like all the guys that's working in the shops now. And I'm sure they're listening. So it's about 35 guys now that we're standing on. So shout out to all of them. I really appreciate what they're doing in the business as well, because without them, I wouldn't be able to come here.
And I just want to say, you better be cutting that hair. This is not a free hour. You better be cutting their hair. And also something that's really exciting is that Legends Barber, this is an exclusive that we haven't mentioned anyway, that Legends Barber is going to be opening a pop-up during Fashion Week at Experience AFI.
Yes, we're really excited about it. I mean, like,
who would have thought, like your barbering business at Fashion Week? That's super wild.
Week,
and I'm so it's crazy.
Yeah,
I'm super excited that we are collaborating, and I don't want to give too much information away. We're having an announcement party this Thursday at La Familia for First Thursday. So if you want to know what Legends Barber is going to be doing, they must come down.
It's something that you don't see on Instagram much, you understand? It's not out there, you see. So we're coming out with different skills, different. So come through.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much, guys. This is a Threaded Exchange. The podcast will be released very, very soon. Yeah. And if you're listening live, thank you so much for tuning in. We've got another hot show next week. This is Siyabonga Beyile, The Threaded Exchange, conversations that are progressive, cultured, and brave. And I am out.
Thanks.
This is CliffCentral.com.